Welcome to the Walls of Sparta, a podcast dedicated to authentic stories of men overcoming adversity by demonstrating strength, leadership, and healthy masculinity. I'm your host, Greg Papanicolaou, and you can find me on social media at GregP_coach at Instagram and the Sparta Code on TikTok, as well as Greg Papanicolaou on Facebook. Sparta is famously known as an ancient city of elite warriors. These legendary men defended their homeland with such vigor that they themselves became the walls. This show honors the legacy that Sparta had by showing men how we could remove our barriers and build true inner strength while promoting healthy masculinity in family and in business. The Walls of Sparta is sponsored by the Sparta Code. If you're a former athlete, elite business executive, or entrepreneur, and you know what you're capable of, but it feels like you've sort of lost that edge lately, you're not alone. Our society is rapidly evolving, and those of us who hold on to traditional values that can have a hard time keeping our tools sharp on our own. That's why we created the Sparta Code. It's a brotherhood of men who value strength, family, and leadership. But above all else, we are committed to stepping into our true purpose and leaving a lasting legacy. We're on a mission to impact the lives of 1,000 men in the next 5 years. If you have a burning desire in your soul to return to greatness you once felt, it's time to live by the Sparta Code. Get the code now at www.coachgregp.com. Today, I have Pepper Bradford, who's my guest, and he is a professional father and entrepreneur from Mississippi. And he's on a mission to help other fathers leave a legacy to their children's children. Pepper, welcome to Sparta Code, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. So I usually open up every podcast with the same kind of leading question and tweak it a little bit from week to week, but I want to open it up to you. What is the best way to promote healthy masculinity in today's boys?
Well, it starts young, which as most things do. The thing that I have been blessed with, I have two boys. They're now 23 and 21, but when they were very young, we lived the good life. If you're familiar with the British TV show, we had 4-H, we had cows, we had chickens, we lived on a farm. And actually, one day, it doesn't snow much in Mississippi, and when it does, it's just for looks only, right? But anyway, so it had snowed, and we had to go milk the cow that day. So I sent the boys out in their pajamas, barefoot. Said, "Hey, they need to go milk the cow today, barefoot." And I went, "Why?" So before anybody gets on to me, the little place where we milk the cows is about 5 feet out the back door. But anyway, I said, "Look, one day you'll be 70 years old with grandkids. You'll thank me later." "When I was your age, I had to go milk the cow." Anyway, so and when we were homeschoolers, and as most families are, my wife was in charge of their day-to-day training, from the 3 R's and whatnot. And I had been praying that God would allow me the opportunity to teach my boys how to be men. And so he actually allowed us in three separate chunks this chance for her to do it. When they were in their 6, 8, 10, 12 range, we had this little farm. We milked the cows, we made cheese, we did all this little small farm stuff. And then in their middle teen years, I had a landscaping business, and I've got them on a bobcat, and we're laying brick and all those kinds of things. And I taught them what it means to sweat and to work. And now we're building this digital online business together in there that we just started this past year. It's a whole backstory of how I got into that. But now, whereas before they were in my world, "Hey, I'm gonna teach you how to be a man, how to work hard, how to milk a cow, and then, hey, I'm gonna teach you how to lay brick and all these things." Well, now it's like, "All right, guys, you're 21 and 23. You teach me what TikTok is all about. You teach me about YouTube." So we're doing the same thing, but I'm trying to emulate to them, and that's really the only way that you can teach the next generation what it means to be a man is to emulate it first and foremost. You have to be a man first. The sad commentary on our society is when I was a kid, looking at my grandfather's generation and say, "Hey, be a man," right? And that's all the phrase was, "Be a man." Well, now we have to add to it, "Be a man of integrity, be a man of hard work, be a man of honesty." You have to caveat. Whereas before, it was just understood what be a man meant. These days, I think it's harder. There are so many other influences in the lives of young men, young boys, and we have to. As someone who is trying to break out and break through on social media, I am constantly aware of the challenge of getting your voice heard above everyone else's. Well, as someone trying to teach healthy masculinity to boys, it's a challenge to get that message and your voice out there above all of the other voices. I mean, I can't imagine all of the different voices that your average 15 to 25-year-old has screaming at them every day from their just from their phones. So, I mean, and we've gone from being one of a dozen in their lives to one of hundreds, thousands in their lives. It's a challenge, but it starts with emulating it yourself, which is why I'm on this journey with my sons, and like you mentioned, trying to leave a legacy. That was a very long answer to that question. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. That's the thing, because I agree with you, and that like it seems to be there's a competition almost with the way that we
Yes.
hear, certain people online doing it their way. But then if it's in kind of conflict with us, we're still sort of the ones that have to kind of emulate it, like you said, and be the example in that physical world because they're seeing us every day and they're seeing our
Yes.
actions.
And
They
our words
don't know
are
what on the
only
other side is doing.
what we're telling them. It's kind of like the argument that I heard about homeschooling is, well, you can teach your kids values, but they're going to spend 8 hours a day at school, 8 hours a day sleeping, and you've only got, at best, you are even with someone else teaching their values. And these days, the things we say to young boys, to our young kids, whatever, is just a small fraction of the things they hear. So it's not only what we tell them, but we have to add them watching us, because that's the number one, the lesson they're gonna appreciate and probably believe more. But it's just adding to, all right, I can't speak to them a certain number of hours a day, but they can watch me for the entire day. So you're speaking to them by your actions as well as your words. And honestly, I don't think words are enough. There's not enough hours in the day to counteract what they're getting everywhere else.
And do you think that another factor, especially when you talk about, that interference that we're up against and doing it by our actions, showing it by our actions, do you think that kind of competes with people's faith too, especially if you're a man of faith,
I do. I do. It is the, everything that I do is biblically based. I get a lot of pushback in my world, which is trading. It's like, what do you mean you're going to be a godly, so I stand with the company, godly trading? And what do you mean? How are you going to use biblical principles in your trading? Well, you can use biblical principles in anything in life. I wrote the book, Trading with Joy, and it's based off of the passages about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm like, okay, you're an atheist. Okay, you're a follower of the Klingon religion. Tell me which of those nine things conflicts with your faith. Maybe if you're Klingon, the peace part, but apart from that, and it is difficult to get faith across in a way that breaks through the, I don't want to call it anti-faith, but the let me put it this way. It is as if the rest of the world rounds up to, oh, religion is this. When, I mean, honestly, the Bible is a handbook on how to live your life. Again, this is about trading with joy. And it starts off with self-control. Well, self-control is critical in trading, being disciplined in your trades, yes. But self-control is universally applicable. I like to tell the story of, like, look, Drew Brees, the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL. I mean, you might have a different opinion of it, but you're wrong. Drew Brees, every day, got out there and trained with discipline, with self-control, with patience. All of these things that we don't realize are faith-based, was doing and became as successful as he did. And it does translate into the real world. It's just hard to get people to make that leap. And so, again, going way past the original question that you asked, I do think it is difficult. Once someone hears the word faith or Bible or whatever it is, they, especially in today's modern social media, shut down because, again, the rest, it seems like social media has put everything in a box. I know for my own particular world, I mean, I fight against what social media portrays as trading. I fight against that every day. I mean, go on YouTube and Instagram and you look at trading, and it's a guy in a Ferrari with a fancy car that's making $1 million a day with $5 in his account. And it's there's this bias. There's this social media puts people things in boxes, and it's hard to break out of, hard to break through that narrative when your average kid spends, 8 hours a day on these phones, and we're talking to them for 1 hour a day or 2 hours a day.
And I noticed when you said self-control, it really, there's an advantage there when you can sort of teach it and they really take it in and they're able to do it at a young age, especially, my son with video games, it's like I never put a term limit on it because I want him to be the judge of that. I want him to
Right.
be the steward of that because if I cut him off at a certain point, he doesn't learn the self-control himself. I always th felt that way about a lot of things, but especially with things that are can be they could take up most of your day and really distract you from your, anything, your physical health and just overall well-being. I always
And
felt
self-control is the
that way.
hardest one to develop. It's funny, when I was memorizing this verse as a kid, I always stopped before self-control because I hated the entire concept of self-control. I'm convinced that Paul put it last, because had he put it first, be like, hey, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, love, joy. Nope, I'm out. Right? He put it last because he's trying to sneak it in there. Right? By the way, and honestly, all of the other ones, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, without self-control, those are meaningless. They're all filtered through that. But it is the other thing about demonstrating versus saying is, if you're telling your kids, hey, you need to be disciplined, you need to have self-control, be a motivated, a self-starter, and you're not demonstrating it to them, they're gonna hear what you say and see what you do and assume that what you say is irrelevant or pointless. Hey, he said this thing, but he didn't do this thing. Therefore, the thing he said is, I'm not gonna listen to it. So you can almost be better off not teaching self-control if you don't have it yourself, because you're going to sabotage that message that they need. I mean, self-control is universally applicable.
Do you think especially kids that are younger today, do you think they can understand the difference between, okay, pushing myself, but also there's self-control involved, so you can also have both at the same time, but do you think that's kind of that they almost get confused by that message of,
I
especially
do.
us entrepreneurs pushing yourselves to, to work towards the end of the night, but also having the self-control of, hey, I got
It
to get
is
to that at a certain time.
almost, especially in the area of entrepreneurship, it is almost a conflicting message. Hey, you're a man, be a man, right? Go back to the 1940s definition. Your priorities in life are God, family, country, those kind of things, business, whatever, after those. And so there's a balance, and we're always, your family comes first. But they see you as an entrepreneur working 27 hours a day and never talking to the kids because you're constantly working, and you're doing it for a reason. And it is possible that in our pursuit of whatever we're entrepreneuring, we're not quite doing it right. And it was an amazing thing to me, a humbling thing to me, when I learned just how much our kids are watching us and not listening to us. We came home from I forget where and opened the door, and my youngest was just old enough to talk, and the dogs had done a thing, chewed up a thing, and we walk in, and he immediately goes, "Girls," because they're both girl dogs, and I realized I just heard my voice coming out of my 3-year-old. I didn't teach him that. Oh my goodness, he's been watching and listening to everything I say when I wasn't intending to teach him stuff. Oh no, it's a weighty responsibility there, and that is one of the things that the mission that I feel like God gave me is to. There's a command in Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And I say that I believe trading is an amazing way that anybody can lift their family up out of their financial situation and put them on a path to financial freedom. And I use the term fathers loosely, because the word in the Hebrews is just tov, which is good. It's both masculine and feminine noun, but family has become to mean so many other different things, right? Basically, whoever it is that you are responsible for. Now, you might be a guy with a wife and kids like me. You might be a single father. It might just be you and the goldfish right now. You don't have a family. Or like my oldest, right? He's got a Call of Duty group that he plays with. He's the responsible one of the group, right? He's the one that they're counting on to bail him out of jail when things go wrong. So every man at some point in his life feels this weight of responsibility of other people. I just sort of, again, round that up, call that family, whatever family means to somebody. And so it is hard to bear that weight of responsibility if your shoulders haven't been prepped for the job. And when my oldest was born, I had this mental image of they're born running out the door. The minute they pop out, they are just running out the door. I got 18 years before they're out now. My oldest is 23 and he hadn't left yet, but that's an economic thing. It's a whole other conversation. But theoretically speaking, you've got 18 years before they're out the door and they're gone. And I just had this mental image of me running along beside them, chasing them as they're running away out the door, and I've got a pitcher, and I'm pouring into them everything that they need in life: how to be a man, how to be a Christian, how to do this, how to change your oil, all these things. And every day that comes and goes is a day that I'll never get back. It's a picture of something I'll never get into them. So it starts with being aware that once you are given that weight of responsibility of someone else, every day you have to be intentional with what am I going to teach them, either intentionally or unintentionally today. And it can be, honestly, without a group of other men to talk about, it can be a crushing responsibility for some.
So we kind of become just that sideline coach, and I love how you tied in all that stuff, and that the actual visual pouring into others and using all the biblical meaning and all that too. So I want you to tell us how you serve other people and where we can kind of reach you at.
Yeah, so my website, godlytrading.com. I am here to help, like I said, anybody who is responsible for anybody else, put them on a path towards financial stability first, and then financial security, and finally financial freedom through trading. You can go, but godlytrading.com is where everything is. And the thing I love about trading is that it is the equal opportunity. The bar to entry is so low. Anyone can trade with $5. I mean, there are just so many. I've got a guy in on the African continent, Nigeria, who's, he can trade off his laptop when there's power, but he can always trade on his phone. Everyone in the world has a phone. And anyway, all of that to say, I feel strongly that lack of money for our families has crippled generations. It is almost as if, and there's an American element here that's probably negative. This idea of a rugged individualist, everyone needs to pull themselves up from their own bootstraps. Therefore, I'm not going to give my kids a head start in life. My kids need to learn to be broke like I learned to be broke. Well, as a result, we're starting over. Every generation starts from scratch. And how much better off would the American Christian church be if more people had money to give to worthy causes? So all of that brings it back around to, I believe trading is a great way for anybody to start earning money on the side that can eventually set them on a path to financial freedom. And, this past year of the journey, it's been like the kid with his fingers in the dam trying to plug holes of everybody thinks that trading is this and it's not. And everybody thinks that you shouldn't have money. And as a whole, I mean, it's almost like why bother? Because the world has turned everybody against everything it means to be a man. A man provides for his family. A man protects his family. A man, emulates positiveness for his family. And attacking that one element has been the greatest weakness of this country and this Western society in the last 50 years. Taking be a man out of the equation has set us all back, I think. Where's the next generation of firemen and linemen and guys that catch crab on the Bering Sea going to come from?
And look, I really appreciate all this perspective because it harkens back to the original question about that we have so many competing messages out there that really what it boils down to, like we agree on, is just our actions, our way of life, our lessons that we learn handed down to the next generation,
Yes.
and still kind of keeping us secure, financially secure, so that we're not damaging, that relationship with money. In the future, we have to have a good relationship with it anyway. So I really appreciate that. So we're gonna wrap up from here, Pepper.
Where?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. And you can learn more from Pepper at godlytraining.com, you guys. And if you're a man who has, battled demons and lived to tell about it, and we want to hear from you too. Just like we heard from Pepper. So come share your story at Walls of Sparta. And we interview men who overcame adversity by demonstrating strength, leadership, and healthy masculinity. Apply for a future episode by going to thewallsofsparta.com. And once again, if you know how greatness feels like and you have a burning desire to bring it back, get the Sparta Code now at coachgreg.com. Thanks for joining us on the Walls of Sparta. Remember, guys, victory is near.